In tonight's episode of Eagles Unscripted, we sit down with Eagles Chairman and CEO Jeffrey Lurie as he looks back on 20 years in Philadelphia and ushering in a new era of Eagles football.
I have to say, I think everybody in this building feels what Michael Vick is feeling. Going to work every day is just sort of a total high because you're excited for not only what's new, but the thought behind it is so clear that you just see it developing.
You've been doing this for a long time. There's really no gentle way to say that to make it sound like
I still feel
it's
young.
A good thing, right?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. How much has the NFL changed?
Oh, boy. There's probably 20 answers to that. But one thing when I look back on it, Scott, is the NFL, when I bought the team in 94, was the most popular league in America. However, now it dwarfs every other sport. And the expansion of the amount of fans of this sport over the last 15 years is astounding. I was taking my son to his freshman year in college yesterday, and I'm in the dorm with all these kids, and all they want to talk about is their team that they're interested in. What's going to happen Arizona Cardinals? What's going to happen Dallas Cowboys? Quarterback situations. I mean, it just, no matter where you are, it's incredible. And I just, I'm astounded when I really look back and think about the popularity of this sport.
I think that there's a lot of people that would wonder if they were able to be in your position at your desk, what the life would be like. I mean, I think a lot of people have an idea of what they think that life is like. What is it that you think that would surprise people most about your job?
You know, I know it's seen as a job everyone would probably like. I have to say, maybe it's my personality, but you spend so many hours awake where you're just worried about delivering a great product to the fans. You can't imagine. You think of everything that could go wrong. You're trying to figure out how you can get advantages over the other 31 teams that are all trying to do something similar. So you spend so many hours, whether you're in the building or not in the building, it's always on your mind. Are we doing the right thing? Can we get better here? It's a lot of self-criticism in terms of how we operate. We always want to try to operate it at peak performance like a player. And I guess the other thing that might surprise people is you hear this from coaches, but I think it's true of owners that are obsessed as well, which is the losses really kind of take a toll. You gloss over the wins. You say, wow, that was really great, and you enjoy it for 24 hours. But I'm still obsessed over certain playoff losses, certain games, certain decisions, play calls. I mean, it's like it happened yesterday. It amazes me. I could wake up, in the middle of the off season and start obsessing over a play call in New Orleans in a playoff game. And I just can't get over that we didn't score a touchdown there and that we lost yardage and lost the advantage and had a chance to go to the championship game for like the fifth time in 6 years. And, you know, I felt we blew it. And it's hard to get rid of that. So it's a wonderful job to have, especially when you love football so much and you love being in Philadelphia with our fan base so much. I love every day, you know, being out there communicating with fans, and I don't hide. I'm just enjoy the city, and you know, my family grew up here. I love owning the team in a city that cares so much.
If you had any fan from somewhere in the suburbs or in the city, or a guy driving his car on his way to work or on his way home from work, and said, okay, you've got the opportunity to sit in your chair, they would say, okay, well, here's what I would do. I would make sure that my general manager went out and got this, and I would make sure that my coach did. That isn't how you operate. That isn't how you have operated.
Right.
Is it tough to pull yourself, you know, hearing how passionate you are, is it tough to pull yourself back from that and let people make those decisions?
You know, it's sometimes tough because you're such a fan number one. I happen to own the team, but I am a much bigger fan than I am an owner in my own, you know, feeling. However, I've watched sports teams over the years. The owners that invade the process, I think, do not have the most successful franchises. So if a coach and a general manager are watching hundreds of hours of tape of different schemes, different players, their strengths and weaknesses. And I come in and say, well, you know what? I don't think we should do it that way because I noticed on TV that this player has great explosiveness. And I watched two games of that player. That's a bad model. It doesn't mean that I can't ask every question in the book, but to sort of overtake that process and to really invade it, I think it's just not in the best interest of having great football teams.
Is it tough to feel like, as an organization, it's time to change something when you've obviously been so successful the way that things were going?
Yeah, it is. You know, with Andy Reid, great coach, probably the greatest era of Eagles football, it really almost had to be a point of diminishing returns to make the change. Great guy. Everyone in the building respected him. The players loved him. And the success was obvious. But we all want to win. We want to win big. We're all really competitive. And the last 2 years, you know, we just did not deliver the product that we so badly want to deliver to our fans. And it got to the point where you just, you know, you simply had to find who should the next leader be. It wasn't about whether to make a change at some point. It's can you find a great new leader? And that was the real goal.
This is a very, very exciting day for the Philadelphia Eagles. Exciting day for our city. And I think a very exciting day for the millions of Eagles fans across the country. So with that, I'm going to allow you all to welcome Chip as the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, and by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
John Dornbos, we're here at Wingo 2013. This is your first experience at Wingo. What do you think so far?
I've just walked through the tunnel and it's a little overwhelming. I haven't even got out there yet.
So you're anticipating?
No, I'm scared.
We're at a time right now where you literally cannot walk around town without people showing an excitement level about where things are heading, what's happening now, and how it's taking its new shape. From your perspective, what's that like?
Well, you know, we've had the same coach for 14 years, and now we changed, and Chip Kelly's our coach. You know, the level of intensity in Philadelphia is huge to begin with, but when you have a new offense, a new defense, and a new leader in a guy like Chip Kelly, it just revs up everything in terms of the questions, the excitement, the energy, and I feel it every day.
You joined us on one of the preseason broadcasts and said something that I thought was really interesting, which was when you decided which coach you wanted to take the chance to be great.
That's exactly right. You know, you don't hopefully get a chance to find your next head coach too often if you make great selections. And Chip, you know, from the outset was our number one target because of all he brought to college football and all he was bringing to the game itself. There's a lot goes into it, but I thought we needed to be bold and go for somebody that had a chance to be great.
Welcome to training camp.
This year was the first year that camp was in Philadelphia. It wasn't at Lehigh anymore. Facilities here are fantastic, and it would seem that it would make an awful lot of sense. There was a tradition to having a camp away from the city of Philadelphia. I get the impression, I'm going to ask for your evaluation, but I get the impression that for a first year, this was a success.
It was a big success. It doesn't mean that teams can't enjoy university environments and go there in dorms and do all that, and there's something to be said for it. But virtually every coach we interviewed said that in today's world and football, as it is in the NFL, with the facilities you have, my gosh, you should really maximize NovaCare Complex, Lincoln Financial Field, and state-of-the-art workout facilities, everything you can possibly have right here. Don't make a change. Let them get used to the way they're going to be competing in the season, and open it up to the fans in the city that have never had access to it.
A couple of weeks into the preseason schedule, Michael Vick said to Brian Baldinger and me, I can't sleep at night. because honestly, I'm so excited about what it is I'm going to go in and do the next day. I'm excited about what the next step is. He said, I've never felt like this in the NFL before. And that's after a long NFL career with a lot of accomplishments, a lot of different situations. I think that says an awful lot about your head coach.
It does say a lot about Chip. I have to say, I think everybody in this building feels what Michael Vick is feeling. Going to work every day is just sort of a total high because you're excited for not only what's new, but the thought behind it is so clear that you just see it developing. And he's being challenged in great ways to maximize his ability. It's not just trying to force him to become a certain style quarterback, but maximizing everything he brings to it. And that license to be Michael Vick gives him sort of a liberating feeling of loving the game again and being able to try to perform at an amazing level. We will see how that plays out, but it's the right philosophy. It's the right way going in. And I can't tell you we're going to see the benefits of that day one, but we're in new territory here. I think it's going to pay great dividends as we go forward because you're going to have athletes that will absolutely take the pride in maximizing what they can contribute to their football team.
You have a new coach and a new way of doing things. You have the personnel side of football. Is there ever a concern of integrating those two things together, and how is that integration process going right now?
Well, Scott, it's a great point because I think you do have to really integrate coaching and player personnel. They've got to work great together. If a player personnel has to find the kinds of players that a coach wants, and a coach has to appreciate all the work that the player personnel people have been doing to evaluate the college talent, the pro talent around the league. Chip and Howie, it's almost like they were born together. They're both nonstop. They're both very collaborative. They're in each other's offices all the time. They want to see what each other is thinking. It's a very respectful process, and they're working great together. Their staffs work well together. Impressive for me to watch.
At a time when not a lot of other organizations were thinking in these terms, you were doing a lot to make this a green organization. It's an amazing thing that that was something that you were at the forefront of as an organization before anybody else was doing it. That obviously was something that was important to you.
It was, and it is. You know, I always feel, Scott, that you have an iconic franchise. You're the most popular company in the city. It's the fourth or fifth largest city in America. It's got lots of problems, and it's got lots of wonderful things. We can be a force for leading the way in different areas. You can't lead the way in every area, but in certain areas where there's maybe a lack of leadership or a lack of direction, a sports team can really take that on. And at that stage, a decade ago, there was a lot of there wasn't a great sense that businesses could take a leadership role in environmentally being conscious and letting your customers have a feeling for protecting the environment and what the future was for our kids in terms of all those aspects. We thought there was an opportunity to take a leadership position, and we had the building to do it because we had a new stadium. We could showcase exactly what you could do as a business. So I really believe that a sports team in a big city especially can be at the forefront of policy, can be at the forefront of pro-action, and hopefully be a real benefit to the community in ways you'd never predict.
When you talk about benefiting the community, there's so many other things that happen away from the football field, you know, the youth partnership. I mean, so many things that have happened away from just the game of football that this organization, is there a part of that that you're most proud of?
Well, I believe since day one that number one priority is to win championships for the city of Philadelphia and our incredible fans. At the same time, you have an opportunity to be a real leader and a iconic organization off the field. It's a coming together of a city, and if a team can't make a priority of what it can accomplish off the field, it's missing a great opportunity. You can't win a championship every year. You sure as heck want to devote all your resources to making sure that can happen. But at the same time, you've got to, I think, have a pride in what you can do off the field as a sports team. And so we make sure everyone who works here feels that way. Every time a player joins our organization, we make sure that becomes a priority. They know it's an organizational priority. We love that the first thing a rookie player is involved in when he's on our team is building a playground. It's kind of like a you're joining the Philadelphia Eagles, but you're building a playground? Yes. It's a way for them to realize that our organization believes in our region, believes in our city, understands there's problems, and there's lots we can do.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, and by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'd like to congratulate Donovan on his retirement from the NFL and really can't wait till September 19th when on that night we're going to induct Donovan into the Eagles Hall of Fame and retire number 5 forever. The 9 players, including Donovan, that have been retired, all franchise-changing impact players from Steve Van Buren, Reggie, Brian Dawkins, and now Donovan.
Not all that long ago, got an opportunity to talk a little bit with Donovan McNabb because he was back and he was retiring as an Eagle. I've got to imagine that for you, based upon where he stands inside the era that you've been around, that's got to be a point of great pride.
It is. You know, when we drafted him, it was not the most popular pick, but it was an obvious pick. And Andy Reid and all of us, you know, we were excited from day one with Donovan. But we weren't that good a football team before Donovan McNabb arrived. And soon after, we were competing at the NFC Championship level every single year. So also a great person. A wonderful person to work with for all these years, and I can't wait till September 19th and retire his number. It's something he richly deserves.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for doing this.
This is great. Love to do it. Thanks, Scott.